And with that, you know, let's welcome God.
Speaker, the only member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions, an area where there's not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions. There's the possibility that a group's inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking in an AA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. I'm an addict. My name is John. I'm here by God's love, grace, and mercy, and I'd like to thank the convention for having the faith and asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope on the third step and third tradition. It's a blessing to be able to wake up in the morning and thank God for another day of life, another day of freedom. And the freedom is from that is self-imposed prison that I made with my mind, and kept people who love me at a distance. And today it's not like that. Today it has something to do with spiritual principles. And I say this with all love and respect, that if principles aren't spiritual, they can be used as weapons. And we're talking. I'm talking something about what I want to share about the third step and third tradition is that the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using, and we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him, and that step in that tradition, which I knew nothing about the first few months when I got clean, I had no idea what you were all talking about. I had no, I had a little bit of willingness. I had a less hope. But what I did was, I have a dear friend who brought me to meetings the first year, every day, at my door, calling me up, taking me to meetings. Meeting after meeting, I got sick of meetings. And then I did some step work, and now I love meetings. I understand the purpose of them, and I understand that in the third step, it's about a commitment. It's about a commitment to my own sanity. The second step tells me it's necessary to believe in something, a power greater than myself. And the third step says we made a decision, and the decision implies an action, and that action is sometimes hard to do. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to do sometimes because you get caught up in what everybody's saying instead of listening to what they're feeling. And there's a difference. And in the third step, the commitment is to work the steps. The commitment is to get involved with NA. The commitment is to listen to other people. The commitment is to stop acting on my old behavior and try a new way of life by listening to people as experience, strength, and hope on how they got through things, how they are living. And it says in our literature, we look for addicts who are recovering and are living what they say they're living. And I have this little definition of integrity is about what you're doing when nobody's watching. Because you go to a meeting and I've done it, please. I added people to my 8-step list clean. And what I realize is it's about making a mistake, but not continually making the same ones. Mm-hmm. If I make new ones, it's okay. As long as they're not outrageous, you know, because I can justify some outrageous nonsense. And I'll share one thing about when the emptiness is there, when the tears are running down my face because I have no steps in my life, and I was laying there 3 o'clock in the morning, 6, 7, 8 months clean, and tears are just running down my face because I don't know what to do. I don't want to call nobody. I don't want to give up that I'm a young man in an old man's body, and I want to say immature boy in a man's body. And what I learned is that I had to tell the truth. The hell with dropping a bomb. The hell with what anybody thinks. If I tell the truth, God will put the right people in my life to help me. And that's what he did when I got my sponsor, who I love and respect, and I wish I had what he had, and I learned that if I keep coming, I might catch him, but I might not either. So it says we come in here with different levels of sickness, and we all recover differently, and that's what the third tradition is about. Its only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. And today, it's about unconditional love to anyone who walks through the doors. It's about being an attraction rather than a promotion. It's about giving back. It's about hugging the person, helping us grow spiritually. That's what I take words and make analogies out of them to pride, putting resentments into defects every day, fear. False evidence appearing real. All these things that I like to twist up because it keeps them in front of me instead of behind me, so I can hopefully not harm anybody, because I learned from my sponsor this is a harm reduction program, and the harm that I've caused clean hurts more than the harm I ever caused using. And when I combine these two things, you said, keep coming back. And I used to get very vulgar with that. I used to really get very vulgar with that. I used to kick chairs. You keep. And I'm not going to get into it because it's really dilutes something here. But I used to be very vulgar, obnoxious, because I was full of fear. And there are right fears and wrong fears. But I was in the wrong fear mode. Because I didn't want to give up anything. I didn't want to talk to anybody about anything that was going on in my life, and I started. You know, I remember out on the street when I didn't have any money, they said get stepping, right? And I got in here and he said start stepping, and all these little things that are, you know, because all these little things that mean something to me today, that I embrace today, help me keep. Stay clean today. I love staying clean, but I also get a thought of using. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't, I don't need to be here, because I still get that thought. Why not? Just one. I'm coming up on 6 years clean. I'm coming up on 60. What the hell? I used for 42 years. I thought I was, quote, socially acceptable. I had two wives, two homes, on the plan at town council for 8 years, using cars in the driveway because my money was all right, until the budget went more for drugs than it did for anything else. Hiding behind two women, first wife, hiding behind them because they were spiritually centered and professionals. And I just hid behind it, fronting. You know, that's an old word, isn't it? Fronting. I was fronting. I front. I was good at that. I was good at smiling while I was picking your pocket. I was good at emotional blackmail because of my life experiences. And I realized that when I was a little boy, my mother always used to say, "God will take care." Right? I didn't know what it meant. Thought I believed. And I realize this too, I learned this by watching my sponsor and a few other gentlemen and women. I hear people say they believe in God, and then I meet the people that trust God, and that's the blessing, and that's the thing that I've come to understand, that everybody has their own process. I'm not the judge or the jury. I'm just another recovering addict trying to live happy, joyous, and free. And I have to say, today, most days I do. Today I do what I'm supposed to do, not what I want to do. And my significant other says all the time, she says, "You're just a little boy." And I look at that, and it's a compliment. Because I'm afraid to lie. Because I know what it brings. It brings the fronter up. The guy who likes the front. It brings up a person who caused a lot of harm over the years to people. It brings up justification and rationalization of the nonsense. And I can understand one thing. I don't have to use. I have to give back what was so freely given. I have to pray. Because God says, I don't care what kind of car you drive. Did you pick anybody up? Take them to a meeting. I don't care what kind of house you live in. What kind of neighbor are you? I don't care how much money you make. Did you sacrifice your integrity to make the money? And I don't care how many people you've been a friend to. I don't care how many friends you have. How many have you been a friend to? And those things that I underline and write down and look at. I will look at the program. I am working in the light of my own recovery. In the light. See, I like to take these words. What is that? Loyalty, integrity, goodness, honesty, and trust. Live in the light. And I use that because that keeps it short and sweet in my forgetting mind. Because I do not remember my first day using. But I sure as hell remember my last day. So I don't go to the... I don't even bother starting at the beginning of the tape. I just go to the end, and that's enough for me. I don't need to go into. I used to hear people say, I used to do this. I think. When I see a 25-year-old with 8 years clean, and I'm 54 years old with 18 months clean, I say, "Why don't you go get a life before you tell me how to live my life?" Right? And it's about my thinking. It's about the thought that comes. If it's a positive one, embrace it. If it's a negative one, pray to have it removed. And I know that this the relationship that I have with God today, of my understanding, and I really sometimes don't like adding that, and I know I should, but sometimes I embrace when God says, "Stop, don't do that." I remember, I knew that long before I came to NA, but I never stopped. I kept going. I kept using. I kept manipulating. I kept lying. You know, I have a beautiful mom. She's 82 years old, nice Italian lady, very spiritual woman, always was there for me, always is there for me. And I, when my second wife asked me to leave, I moved into a motel, you know, one of the motels, you know, the $40 a night ones, and paid by the week, so I got a little discount. And I just remember sitting there bawling my brains out. I remember all that pain. Pain shared is pain lessened. They say we all go through pain, but suffering's optional. Our dreams needn't die. My dreams needn't die. Because I'm, like I said, I'm turning 60 and I still have dreams. And I still want to go back to school. My sponsor's been on my back for 2 years about it. God says move and you're still sitting there. So the relationship between the third step and the third tradition is, you told me I only have to, I have the desire to stop using. And I add something to that. It doesn't say drugs. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. Because when I got clean, I used some other things. So I had to learn, and I had to back up, and I had to stop, and I had to stop lying about it. I love her. She's young enough to be my granddaughter. Not my daughter, my granddaughter. What is wrong with you? It's about my thinking. And I know that about the third step, if I change the behavior, the thinking will change. It's not the other way around. Not in my recovery. I had to change the behavior and the thinking changed. And all the things that I've learned here is a God-given program. God has blessed me to be in a committed monogamous relationship. And I know this too. And I don't know if anybody experienced this. This isn't arrogance and ego. This is just my. When I started behaving myself, I had more temptation placed in front of me. And I realized that it's all a choice. The third tradition, the third step, it's a choice. It's a choice to make a commitment or not. You can do this, or you can go do that. And I choose to do this today. Because what I do know and what I do care about are having friends, having honest, true relationships with people. And I don't do it all the time. Please, I don't. Because I get caught up in that ego thing. Or that, I used to say, the longer I stay here, the less I know. And it's the truth. Because there's a lot I have to learn. I'll give you an example. The self-society service in God. Self-society service in God. I have to find self. That's the third step, making a commitment to do that by continuing the step work. I have to get back in and give back what was so freely given, society, not just in the rooms. I volunteer to the soup kitchen. I do other things outside of Narcotics Anonymous to give back to society, right, to the service work. And then, if I do God's favor, he grants me favors. And that's what it's about. That third step is about willingness to make a commitment to continue in a new way of life, trying not to cause harm. Mm-hmm. And we told you to love you. I do, because that's what the God of my understanding loves me, and I'm a creation. You're his creation. Don't diss his creations. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.
Our next speaker is Mike, and he's also sharing on step three and tradition three. Let's welcome Mike.
I want to thank God for allowing me to be in this meeting and getting another day clean. Anybody that's new to this program, welcome home. As well, disease, death, institutions, and death. Our program promises that any act can lose the desire to use to find a new way to live.
That's right.
We live in a new way just by being in this building right here today. You know, this is what we do in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, we have social events also. They got me sharing on the third tradition, but another one of our traditions talks about how we have social events such as these, so we learn how to do things socially, so when we get out of the meeting place, we can do things outside of a meeting and have some social skills. Third tradition, like, the only requirement for membership is desire to stop using. I was almost like in tears when I really started meditating on that tradition, like, because I can remember that a lot of addicts, recovering addicts, in these rooms around here, you know, didn't judge. They kept telling me, keep coming back. You know, see, because like this is like my medium year. I call this like my medium year because I had 7 years of using and relapsing. Now I got 7 years of continuous recovery. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm coming up on 7 years. So, like, and just remembering those times of, you know, when people didn't judge, you know, and some people fall short in a lot of different areas. But a lot of people, you know, they carried me. They went cross town, carried me, came cross town to come get me, carried me 14 miles away to a meeting, and then, you know, 14 miles back, and then went back cross town to their home. A lot of addicts did that, and then this one addict, he's very sick right now. He carried me a lot of different places, and so thank God for the people to be in my life. They're talking about, and I'm going to be real short on this tradition, because, like, we can't, it's part of carrying the message to the newcomer, you know, an old timer alike, you know what I mean? You know, but the principles of the tradition, spiritual principles, helpfulness, acceptance, and unconditional love. Unconditional love, that's the big one. And tolerance, well, tolerance, they say, reminds us that judgment is not our task. That unconditional love, like, no matter what they drive, you know, where they come from, how much or how little they have, who their parents are, or they're in politics, or any of that kind of stuff, you know, we only want to know, you know, what's your problem and how we can help. You know, giving somebody a hug, encourage them to get involved with the program, encourage them to keep coming back. That was all big to me, you know. Never turning me around for a ride. They, like, told me, you get it, you get home. And it always was the case. I got there, I walked to a lot of meets, cross town in the blizzard, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, one day clean, couple months clean. But I walked, kept coming, and they got me home. You know, I try to do the same thing on a lot of different occasions. You know, because our goal is, like, to help other people to get a new way to live. And I can't keep what I have if I don't give it away. You know what I mean? So it's really dear to me. And every, you know, even though we do the encouragement thing, even this weekend, I was trying to encourage someone to come, and they made a decision that they did not want to come. They've been staying clean, and they've been making meetings, and they're just not on the social event scale like we're having this weekend. But that's okay. You know what I mean? As long as I did my part, you know what I mean? After that, I'm powerless. I plant the seed, you know what I mean, and keep it moving, you know what I mean? And I don't know, because this thing has brought me a whole lot of places. It's taking me out of town. They was taking me to diner, to the restaurant. I ain't got no money, you know what I mean? We ain't actually got no money. Get in the car. Shut up. You know what I mean? So, like, they did that for me. They'll do it for me today, though. I don't know why, but they don't do that no more. But I ain't relapsing so they can do it neither, just for today. But, you know, yeah, I really appreciate all that stuff that they did for me. This one particular addict, she's sharing in the next room, actually, as we speak. And I was out on a run. I was at the Turnpike rest stop, you know. And instead of letting me sit there in my mess, they tapped on the window like, "What you doing? What you doing?" And they called my wife's name and said, "She's looking for you." You know what I mean? And I thought she really wasn't looking for me because I had left her stranded. Wait, trying to pick her up. You know what I mean? And so then that kind of got me like, you need to go home. Don't be out here no more. But there's a chance I could have died that evening. That's how bad that run was. With no money, I still could have died. You know what I mean? Because we always can find ways and means to get more. Eventually, you know. I mean, struggle gets hard, but eventually, you know, you seek and you will find. On this third step, you know, it says we made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God while understanding. Like, we was telling me, like, I can't do this program. First of all, first word, we. I don't do this program by myself. First and foremost, I got to stop getting high. You know, if anybody new in this room, like, don't jump to the third step. You know what I mean? Because I jumped to the third step, and I almost died. I found myself in the suicidal position up on Southern Street Bridge. So jumping to the third step is not a good idea. Steps are in order for a reason. Before you jump on them, you got to stop getting high.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And, like, I got to get a sponsor. You know what I mean? Do the same crap I did out there in the street. I had me a cop man. I had me a coke man. I got to get a sponsor in here. I had my regular coke man on time, every day. Know what time I got paid, the whole nine. I was telling him all my business. So now why I come in here, I can't tell somebody else all my business. He was a stranger. You know what I mean? He was a stranger. So now I can't tell somebody stranger to try to save my life. So, like, you know, give yourself a break. Practice some change, try something different, because whatever we did out there got us to succeed up in here and, like, change and get a sponsor, okay? So then, like, we get on, because we got to work the steps in order, so, like, I got to run the three. So, like, I got to realize, like, I'm powerless. One is too many, 1,000 never enough. I ain't never did one or nothing, you know what I mean? I ain't never did one trick. I ain't never did one drug. I ain't never did one drink. You know what I mean? I ain't even got one job today. You know what I mean? I got multiple jobs. You know what I mean? Multiple credit cards, too, and multiple bank accounts, too, thanks to this program. But I ain't never did what I'm saying is, I ain't did one or nothing. You know what I mean? Multiple hats, too. You know what I mean? So, like, and realize, like, you know, the second part of that stuff is talking about the unmanageability. Like, it ain't all about, like, how I was renting my car out, then I almost went and got my wife's car the same night to rent hers out, you know what I mean, and how I was running back and forth to the pawn shop, you know what I mean, and selling T-bones out the freezer, and, you know, all kind of stuff, and crawling on floors, and you know, all that unmanageability, the outward appearance, but the inside appearance of the unmanageability was talked about in our step working guide, like how, like, my reactions. You know what I mean? And I just talked about the social skill thing, how my reactions on any different occasion around people, places, or things, you know, I'm substance to, like, to harm someone. You know what I mean? You know, because, like, you know, I could say something wrong. You know, I can remember simple stuff, like, you know, I love reading the sporting newspaper from out of New York. And if somebody would have took my paper, you know what I mean? I used to work early in the morning and all this stuff, and I still do, actually. But if somebody would have took that paper back then in my active addiction, like, the whole, everybody's day was messed up. I'm breaking up stuff over a 50-cent paper. You know what I mean? You know, even if they returned it, you know, so, like, you know, how I react on different occasions. And that goes further, like, you know, taking care of situations at home or with children and taking care of business, you know. You got a bill collector to deal with, you know what I mean? How am I going to react to him? Because if I don't react to him humbly, you know, he going to do what he got to do. He just might cut me a little break, you know what I mean, or show me an easier, softer way. Like, you know, if I change how my reaction and my behavior towards people, you know. And it's real important, you know. If I practice that in my life, you know, and I did that, and it changed, moved on to step two where we're talking about. Let me get this right here. We came to believe that power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Like, and I always refer to the group with that, because on any different occasion, like, the group is our most powerful vehicle. Because I'm saying, even being clean, like, I need to get to a meeting. You know what I mean? You know, I need to, like, but, like, if you knew, like, and you don't understand what insanity is, I mean, can you remember, like, it snowed 2 days ago? And, like, this was me, like, you know, trying to find some salt. But it snowed 2 days ago trying to find some coke on the ground and it's rock salt. You know what I mean? That's insanity. You know what I'm saying? I'm still geeking, you know, looking all over my back and stuff. You know what I mean? That's insanity in active addiction. But, like, now, like, when I'm all up in my head and, like, still want to turn into them Tasmanian devil behaviors, you know, and act out, just like I'm going to throw everything away, you know, I need to, like, get with the group, get with an individual, you know, and on my job, like, it's 5,000 people that work there. I basically network with the 10 or so recovering addicts that I know that are active in our program. Well, I see it on a pretty regular basis, and I will call one of them up if something's going on at work, you know what I mean? Sometimes, like, I don't get a chance. I had some situations where I got a call, like, you know, your uncle died. You need to go home, you know. And I walked to the car, and this recovering addict came by. You know what I mean? That was my higher power sending him, like, to give me some encouragement and some empathy, some things that I needed, like, for my way going home. You know what I mean? I don't need to be erratic driving down the highway 14 miles to get to my house, so, like, and anytime, like, two acts are together, whether you emailing, whether you on the phone, like, you know, like, I got a chance to, like, to work on that piece of, like, getting stuff and venting, and, like, and he can help me, my higher power can use him to help me as a vessel, use him as a vessel or her, you know, to help me to get back on square. Because that's what my old sponsor used to say, like, being on square. If I ain't on my square, like, I'm subject to relapse. Because, like, it ain't but two things in this program for me. I'm either working on relapse or I'm working on recovery. You know what I mean? I ain't no in-between. You know what I mean? So I try to stay on my, what they call a square. You know what I mean? You know, being peaceful. You know, our key tag talks about that serenity piece. You know what I mean? And serenity, I looked it up. They told me to get a dictionary. It means peaceful and tranquility. Now I try to stay in that mode. You know, and with that, like, they moved me on to step three. Like, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God or understanding. Like, again, that's giving me an example. So it worked for thousands and thousands of other recovering addicts. So why can't I take a chance? You know what I mean? So, like, in that decision, like, it didn't have to be my great grandmother's God or anybody, you know, else's God, you know, because see, the old time, you know, I grew up in this, you know, religious faith and you know, they had some old timey ways and, you know, they told me, like, to get a God that's loving, caring, and, like, and greater than you. You know what I mean? I remember that Coke was loving and caring. And I thought it was greater than me, but I still wanted it. I thought it was loving and caring at that point. You know what I mean? And, like, if you got a problem with the word using God, like, if you're new in this program, like, first of all, keep coming. And next of all, like, they told me, like, change it over to G-O-D, good orderly direction. right? And that helped me out a lot, you know, because I got a lot of spiritual leaders in my family, you know, and they had their own opinions and suggestions, you know, including my father. But, you know, my guys just, you know, the way I came up was like just all about punishment. You know, I was supposed to get struck by lightning if I'm reading the newspaper during a lightning storm because newspapers made it out of wood, you know, things like that. So it kind of I had a lot of fear growing up. I don't know if anybody could identify with that. But see, like, now I'm knowing a difference. And yes, you know, if I'm doing some positive things, then God's going to have some more positive things come in my life. I'm doing some negative things, like, God's not going to have positive things come in my life right then and there. You know what I mean? That's the way my God understanding works. But that decision, though, was real important for me. That it ain't the way you understand them. I may go to places you go, but I don't relate and communicate with him the way you communicate and relate with him, you know? And with that, it's gotten much, much closer. Now, mind you, these relatives of mine always said, you know, well, how long are you gonna keep going to that program? Now they asking me, can you help so-and-so get into that program? Nobody bothers me anymore about am I still coming to Narcotics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. That conversation never, ever comes up because of things that's going on in my life, outwardly and inwardly, you know, and how I've changed, you know, in you know, inside and outsides. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, the decision that I made is personal. You know, and I talked to some old time and they told me that's a personal decision. You know, where you go, how you do it, how you communicate. They talked about it, you know, works out why, about the communication with your God and being open to the communication. Every day I get off my job at 1:30 on most days. And so I normally pray and open my ears up to see what God has to say to me every day. I normally, usually for me, it's a prayer of gratitude and prayer for other people more so than just things. It's very seldom that it's things. I mean, it's real rare, you know, and it is so rare. Like, my car was breaking down, and I spent some money that weekend, and then the guy said, well, you're going to need another $600. And so, I know I needed about $1,200 of some more work to be done on the car. The car ain't worth for $2,000. So, you know, you add the numbers up, that's like $2,000 right there. I'm like, I really want to spend this money. I consulted with God that particular time on things. That Monday I go into work. The boss, I need to take a half a day. I said, why? I said, I'm either going to get another car, I guess, or either go get it fixed. So I got in the car, half a day. And before I got in, I said, God, I need a clear, and I made it with a real short prayer. I need a clear decision. You know, should I get a new car or not? The car broke down on me twice on the way down the highway. So when I got it back going again, I went to the dealership.
That's right.
That was my answer. You know what I mean? And that's how it worked for me. I don't, like, pray for things. You know, things is going to happen. You know, but that was, I mean, it was direct, quick. And he usually don't do that for me, you know what I mean? Because I usually don't pray for things. So that shows me right there that I have a consistent basis of communicating with the God of my understanding. Regularly, I pray at this lake when I get off. You know what I mean? Whether it's snow on the lake, ice on the lake, and it's a lot of things that's real peaceful for me. I'm noticing a lot of things that I didn't notice about parks when I got high. Because the only thing about parks was when they get high, it's like, where was the corner spot where ain't nobody going to see me smoking no weed? And then when it advanced to crack cocaine was, where is the park bench before the birds wake up, before the birds start chirping, when I got in the park like 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, that's the only thing I know about parks. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my ideal parks have totally changed. You know what I mean? Enjoying the ducks and you know, life is good. I can see life a whole lot clearly now once that crack cocaine smoke is gone. You know what I mean? Because that's my drug of choice. Mm-hmm. If I get high, that's when I'm going back. I'm going back to crawling on floors. You know, I haven't had no burnt fingertips in a while, you know. My fingers is clear, clean, you know what I mean, smooth. My wife didn't want me rubbing my hands on her. She said, hit the rough things off of me. They're like alligator skin. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, they're nice and smooth, you know. Skin done cleared up and I, you know, I don't have to put, I don't wear no Vaseline. I ain't trying to come to meetings with Vaseline and chapstick on my lips, talking about I ain't getting high. You know what I mean? All that unmanageability, you know, it's, life is good. And so, like, I need to, like, stay and apply these steps in my life and, like, continue to have this relationship with God. As I get further into this step, though, I got into the meat and potatoes about what this step is really talking about. See, the meat and potatoes is, like, talking about, like, you need to turn from self-will, self-centered, self-ego behavior, and turn to God's will, period. You know what I mean? And so, like, so then I had to, like, what are they talking about, self-will? So in our work, in our works, how and why, on page 26 and in works, how and why, it states, self-will is composed of such characteristics as closed-mindedness, unwillingness, self-centeredness, and outright defiance. Our self-centered obsession and its accompanying insanity have made our lives unmanageable. Acting on our self-will has kept us trapped in a continuous cycle of fear and pain. Continuous. You know what I mean? A lot of pain. You know, we wore ourselves out in fruitless attempts to control everyone and everything. Like, let go and let God. You know what I mean? I ain't got to control nothing. You know what I mean? Situations going on with my children. You know, and they are now all in their early to mid-20s. And I'm learning as I stay in this program that it's much easier on me in my recovery to help me stay on my square. I talked about that square piece. If I turn it over and let go and let God. I talk to them. I show them an easier, softer way. And I step out of the way. And I just pray for God to, like, to do his will in their lives. You know what I mean? Other loved ones in my family, the same thing. Like, I, you know, I got to move out the way. You know, I got a brother that hasn't surrendered on a consistent basis. You know, and I feel his pain because, you know, I understand that surrender is consistent. You know, it's not a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 4 months. It's a consistent basis, you know what I mean, a day at a time. And, like, I got to get some meat and potatoes, like, to help me stay consistent, like, making these meetings and get some information on how to stay clean and how to have a relationship with the God of my understanding. So, like, what I get out the way. And just turn him over to the God of my understanding. And I visit him. You know what I mean? I don't preach to him about recovery. I just let him see the recovery in me. We have a general conversation. You know what I mean? And I move on. You know, and I don't know, like, situations at work, like, jobs is a hard thing. You know, you're there 40 hours a week. You're there half of your life because, you know, other 30 of your life you're sleeping, you know. And then the other part, you're going in between and going here and there, and then you might be with your significant other. But most of the time, you're the third is with at a place of work. And situations like, you know, I thought they supposed to do this and they should do that. You know, because of this program, like, I'm coming up on 10 years. You know what I mean? They give me high scores. But they ain't giving me no promotions. They tell me you deserve it, but you ain't got it yet. You know what I mean? But I still do the job 110%.
That's right.
You know what I mean? People say like, why you do like this and why you do that? You know, I'm a janitor, you know, and I always stay in the positive. I'm learning, like, it's better for me to stay in the positive. I have a job. Some people wish they had the job I had. You know what I mean? You know, with all the pennies. You know what I mean? You know, and more importantly, like, the job security. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't make the big money. You know what I mean? I don't have a big name car. I have a car. You know, I try to stay in the positive thing. I don't have a house with a white picket fence. I got an apartment. You know what I mean? Maybe someday we will, maybe someday we won't. But I have a roof. There's people in other countries, ain't got no roof. You know what I mean? Ain't got no clothes on their back. So I use those examples for me. And those are some of the people that I pray for. Like, to keep me in the positive. You know what I mean? So I don't breed on the negative. Negative things will keep growing to a negative spirit. And that negative spirit, if the bottom line is, I'm going to get high. Because I'm going to get the efforts and use. An addict, this addict, one of his favorite words is to say, fuck it. Go get high. You know what I mean? That's one of his favorite words. So, like, for a minute now, I have not been doing that. So, like, you know, I try to breathe the positive, and positive things will grow. Mm-hmm. You know, and my life has steadily got better. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you knew this program, man. Give yourself a break. Don't get high. Like I said, surrender. Take a chance. Get a sponsor. You know what I mean? And work these steps in order. You know what I mean? And your life will get steadily better. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to share this. Like, I've seen some things recently. You know what I mean? This addict was able to fly to across country to California. I seen the Pacific Ocean for last month. And I was able to go to World Service. And I said I was 2 hours away. There's no way I wasn't going to go to World Service. But the idea that I flew across country by myself, did not get high, even though the guy next to me on the plane was drinking scotch, my favorite drink. You know what I mean? Nobody ain't going to see me. But see, I got to play that tape. I didn't get high. I know I'm going to be high. You know what I mean? And like, I was able to do something well beyond my wildest dream. I sure had to say this. That my person told me that your dreams would be well exceeded, so set some goals. And my dreams have been well exceeded. That and a whole lot of other stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm Addict Named Mike. Thanks for letting me share.